You're listening to The Doug Haldeman Show, Mortgage and Real Estate Talk. Here's your host, mortgage expert and consumer advocate, Doug Haldeman.
Welcome back to the show. Remember that you can visit our website at smartwithyourmoney.com to see any of these topics we're talking about, and you can re-listen to any of the segments too. And I want to welcome to the studio a special guest. We have Elaine Marr from Farmers Insurance. Welcome, Elaine.
Hi, Doug. Thanks for having me.
Oh, you're welcome. It's always a pleasure. You're the expert contributor to the show when it comes to insurance and many things around insurance, which comes to, you know, investing and several different things like that. So always appreciate your expert opinion. Thanks for taking the time.
I love our chats. Happy to be here.
All right. So one thing that's come up several times recently is, how do you find where you should make the limits on your insurance? Because you see 100 and 300, and you know, most people have no idea. And I'm not an expert at insurance. You're the expert on it. So how do we determine that?
Yeah, great question. Because we're also being marketed to and inundated with the companies that are saying, we'll keep you legal for less. You know, they're not really writing it ethically, I don't believe. So we need to learn how to set those limits, how to make sure we're protecting your net worth.
We'll keep you legal for less, meaning that they'll give you just the legal amount that you need.
Sure, just to get that piece of paper that says that you're insured. But when you go to use it, if someone were to file a liability lawsuit against you, you're only going to have the legal state limits. And in Missouri, the legal state limits are $25,000 per person, $50,000 per accident. When we're talking about someone filing a liability lawsuit against you, that can be exhausted.
That's not very much.
Now, that can be exhausted pretty quick.
Well, if there's a serious accident and it's your fault, which can happen in all kinds of things. I mean, you could have, you know, a tire blowout,
right,
and run into somebody. All kinds of things out of your control doesn't even mean you're a bad driver. $25,000 or $50,000, you could go through that, you know, one day.
Right, exactly. And then you get a letter from the insurance company that says your limits are about to be exhausted. Be prepared to hire an attorney. I don't ever want one of my clients to get that letter or have to think that they have to hire their own attorney and start providing their own defense.
Okay, so determining those limits is obviously pretty darn important. So,
right.
So how do you determine the limit from one person to another? What's a good rule of thumb on how we even do that?
Okay, well, what I tell people is I want to decide what your net worth is. I want that first number in your limits of liability on your auto policy. It's called bodily injury, and you'll usually see it at 100, 300, 250, 500. I want that first number to meet or exceed your net worth. I want to do what I say is build a wall of liability.
Yeah, so meaning that, let's say if I have $300,000 in liability coverage, but my net worth is $500,000.
Correct.
So now I have that wreck and somebody's injured, you know, catastrophically, and I guess the other insurance company on the other side is going to research to find out what my net worth is to possibly come after me for something over the 300.
Right. What we typically see is someone gets hurt in an accident, they go to a personal injury attorney. That personal injury attorney has an asset search company. They're going to run you through that company, and they're going to find out everything about you to determine if they want to take that case or not. The more you're worth, the more you're at risk for being sued.
Okay, so I saw one of those asset search companies, and it was interesting because we were using it with a philanthropic group. And there was an asset search company that they hired because it could search the assets of everybody that belonged to this group.
Okay.
And I was shocked at how accurate it was. I was shocked.
Oh, really? You actually saw it put to use.
I saw my own number.
Yeah.
I saw my own number on there, and it was really accurate.
How did they have access to all this stuff?
I had no idea how they had access to it. I mean,
yeah,
it knew 401k numbers and all kinds of things.
Yes, they'll come up with all of it.
Okay, so to keep that defense attorney, or I'm sorry, to keep that plaintiff's attorney from coming after you, you just make it sure you have liability that's equal to your net worth.
At least. Right. Exactly. So when you say coming after you, so they don't start dipping into your net worth. We want to have enough of the insurance money there to keep them happy. It's easy to get insurance money, easier, I should say, than after that going to someone's net worth.
Well, yeah, think about the scenario where you have the $300,000 in coverage and somebody has a $500,000 net worth, and they come after and they take your, you know, the first 300 for them, but another 200,000 from you.
Right.
Okay. Well, how long does it take you, that person with 500,000 in total net worth, how many years do you have to work to save $200,000?
Yeah. And that's exactly where I'm coming from. It's like, we work so hard to build up our stuff, you know, our money, our equity in our homes, and all of that could be at risk. And the whole thing about this is liability is big numbers on your policy, but it's one of the least expensive coverages you can buy up. I think it's the most vital.
Okay, so when it comes to determining your net worth, okay, and in case you just joined us, you'll listen to Doug Haldeman Show on FM News Talk 97.1. We're speaking with Elaine Maher from Farmers Insurance. So net worth, I'm going to take a guess that most people I talk to have no idea what their net worth is.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes we don't really take an inventory or really figure it out. You know, what is at risk or what is my net worth?
I've developed a pretty simple method on my budget.
Okay.
So with my budget, I have there's a monthly portion of it where I have a monthly tab for every month of the year. And as I just look at my bank statement balances, I actually just update it every month. And it doesn't take very long.
That's great.
But especially once a year, because it's part of my life plan, I'll identify the starting net worth and have a goal for what I want the ending net worth to be. So I at least calculate it. But a lot of people, I'm going to say most people probably don't even do it.
No. Yeah, I think you're an exception, and that's an ideal way to do it. That's fantastic. It's similar to me telling someone they need to do a personal inventory in their home of their belongings. Most people don't. They know they should. You know, so I'm looking for something that's kind of quick hit and basic.
Okay, so let's walk somebody through how to do it.
Okay.
If somebody's listening right now and they don't know how to calculate the net worth, describe it.
Here's some very basic, quick hit things to do. I call it the six magic questions. You know, let's just start with these. And it's something you can just kind of write these numbers down. You can approximate them. But one of the first things I'll ask people is, do you have a 401k at work? And if you do, what is the approximate value of that account?
Okay.
Write that down.
Most people have a general idea of that.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And it's going to change. Hopefully, if you're still working, depending on how long you're working, it'll grow.
Yeah, but hopefully it's growing.
Yeah, we hope. Yeah. Do you have 401ks in any previous employers? I'm surprised at the people I come across that have left jobs and they've left some 401ks floating around out there. Look at those. And these can be 403bs, et cetera, any retirement plan. Let's look at what you've got out there. What is the value of those? Write that down. Approximately how much do you have in liquid savings? Like your CDs, savings accounts, mutual funds, et cetera. Write down that total.
Okay.
What is the approximate equity you have in real property? So real property, like your homes, rental properties, any land you may own, personal belongings, cars. I even say toys. There's people out there with some pretty big boats. What is the equity and value of those?
Right. And so the equity, just make sure we're clear on that.
Okay.
Take your value minus what you owe on it.
Correct.
Should be self-explanatory, but it may not be to everybody.
Right, exactly. And I look at equity as being the thing that's at risk. So how much do you have in your Roth IRA? Don't forget about that. Write that down.
Another
and then also, do you have a pension? Okay, because we're going to look at that monthly payout that's coming from the pension that could be at risk later on.
Well, yeah. Oh, so they could attach that pension as future money that you're going to earn.
Same as your retirement plans. A lot of people say, well, they can't get at my retirement plan. They can't while you're actively contributing to it. But once you start using it, it is now an income stream, just like a pension will be annuitized and become an income stream, and it can be garnished like anything else.
That's scary. I don't think a lot of people really think about that because most people don't think of their pension and their net worth as a lump sum value.
Right.
All they think about is how much they're going to get on a monthly basis, but what is that? What's that equivalent?
Yeah, and it's hard to put a lump sum value on it because it is an annuity. You've contributed to it. It's going to pay out over a certain amount of years. There's no true lump sum value. It just depends on how long you live and how long you draw from it. But it's a conversation to be had.
Okay, so now somebody, they have that net worth number. Okay, what do they do with that net worth number?
Okay, so add up all those things, come up with your net worth number. Now I want you to look at your auto policy. And on your bodily injury, it's either going to be like a 500 combined single limit, or more often than not, it's a split limit, like 100, 300. That first number, if that 100,000 does not meet or exceed your net worth, you need to raise your limits on your auto policy.
And 100, 300 is kind of the default for most policies, isn't it?
Right.
And that's not enough for a lot of people.
No. No, that's where I find most people are at. There's some younger people or people who have bought into the lower legal limits. Most of my clients are all at 500, 500, 500. We top out the auto.
Okay, so up to 500, 500, and then what about your homeowner's insurance policy? Do you need anything on there too?
Yes, I would bump up the limits of liability. Up until a couple years ago in Farmers, we only went up to $500,000 on the home. Then we started carrying $1 million. Now we're up to $2 million. But as my clients are renewing and I review with them, I'm taking them from $500,000 worth of liability coverage on the home to $1 million worth, and it's $12 a year. That's why I want to impress upon people.
So how do you do that?
I just change their policy at the review. We just go ahead and we bump up their limits. It can be done at any time. It doesn't even have to be done at renewal.
Do you think that an umbrella policy that pulls it all together is a good idea?
Yes, I do. The first steps I'll do with people is raise their underlying policies. So an umbrella. An umbrella is a personal liability policy. And it's called an umbrella because it goes over your auto and your home policies.
Okay.
Say when your auto limits of liability are exhausted, now we're going to kick in another $1 million worth of coverage.
And okay. Give an example of how much an umbrella policy costs for $1 million in coverage.
It will be an average of about $150 a year.
So $150 a year.
Mm-hmm.
That's
and,
not much.
And it's the way I structure it, too. When I run up those underlying policies, the cost of the umbrella comes down. You'll okay. find sometimes I run across people with other companies that only have 100 on their auto, but they're like, I'm okay, I have an umbrella. When they see I can raise the lower ones and it lowers the price of the umbrella, they're amazed. Now I got them at $1.5 million instead of 1.1. So it's you have to play with it. Yeah.
Very, very important. I see that the average person just is not going to know where these limits should be. They're just not going to. Like, you have to get a trusted advisor in this area, and I really can't stress that enough. Elaine, I'm happy to have you as my trusted advisor, and I know that a lot of listeners need a trusted advisor like you. So if somebody wants to reach you, Elaine, what's the best way to reach you?
Best way is to call our office, and you can get a hold of myself, Michelle, Tyler, and we're at 314-238-0055.
Okay, so 314-238-0055. Elaine Marr from Farmers Insurance. So, Elaine, if you have time to stick around, I have more questions about, you know, once you figure that net worth, you help break down the different buckets that money's in.
Yes, yes. Another thing I like to do with people. It's fun.
We'll talk about that and more when we return. You'll listen to Doug Haldeman Show on FM News Talk 97.1.
You're listening to The Doug Haldeman Show, Mortgage and Real Estate Talk. Here's your host, mortgage expert and consumer advocate, Doug Haldeman.
Welcome back to the show. I am rejoined by Elaine Marr from Farmers Insurance. Welcome back, Elaine.
Hi. Thanks, Doug.
All right. So we talked about in the last segment, and I know people are going to want to re-listen to that, at smartwithyourmoney.com. You can re-listen and also you can subscribe to the podcast, iTunes or Google Play, search for Smart With Your Money with Doug Haldeman. But right now, we actually are with Elaine Marr. So, Elaine, we were just talking about net worth, okay, and how you calculate it. But now, you have this net worth, and how is it divided? Okay, what are the different buckets that this money goes into? Because you were really stressing the importance of that.
Yeah, knowing what categories your money is in. Yeah, let's talk about a smart money list and figuring out where that money is.
Well, yeah, because don't you think that most people, unless they have a really good financial advisor, they're just kind of backing into that. Like they don't necessarily have a plan on how they're ended up in those buckets in many cases.
Right, or a vision of where their money is. How is it categorized?
Yes.
You know, and what does that mean? What does that mean? You know, I mean, we look at accumulation a lot, but you really need to start getting, as you get closer to retirement, really talking about preservation and distribution. You know, when that money is distributed, you know, is it going to be subject to taxes, et cetera? So that's why we want to categorize.
Pretty important. Okay, and it's definitely when you think about it, how are you going to distribute it? How do you get the money out? And is it taxable at that point or not?
Right.
I know Albert Einstein had the quote, and I love the quote, compound interest is the eighth wonder of the world. He who understands it earns it. He who doesn't pays it.
And that is so true. Yes. And that's what this is all about. Let's figure out what you have, how much you have. Now let's figure out where it's at. Is it diversified enough?
Okay, so let's go through the different categories of the buckets of money.
Okay. And I talk about having a smart money list or the bucket of money. There's what's called free money. Okay. Everybody loves free money.
We like free
correct?
Money.
Correct. Yes.
Do.
Yes. And that would be things like your 401k or your 403b. If your company has a match, they might match 3%, 4%, 5%. That's free money. You know,
yeah,
contribute.
So let's be specific what that means. So when they say they have a match up to, say, 5%, that's 5% of your income that you can put into the 401k. And they'll match sometimes dollar for dollar, sometimes it's 50%.
Right, but they have some type of match where they're going to match what you contribute. What a great incentive. That's what I mean by free money. Yeah.
Yes, because they're not only putting in, you automatically, if they're matching dollar for dollar, you've doubled your money immediately before there are even market returns.
Right. Right.
You can't pass that one up.
Yes.
That's truly free money.
That's free money. That's one of the first ones.
And you're not making any money on their 401k. I mean, that's not But you're telling that because it's in their best interest.
Right. Before I talk to them about opening a Roth or other products, I'm like, here's the first thing you need to do. Let's figure out if you're being smart with your money. Okay. Let's get that free money from the company if there is some. And then sometimes people contribute above that. I say, just stop. And the next step is you want to go to a Roth. Okay. A Roth is going to be your, it's tax-free money. Okay.
Okay.
So I skipped down to tax-free. The free money would be things like your 401k match, gifts, inheritance, et cetera. Now, those can become taxable when you go to use them.
Yeah. So when, you know, 401k, once you hit retirement age, start to take the money out, now it's taxable because it went in tax-free and it grew tax-free, but now you want to use the money. Now you have to pay the tax on it.
Correct.
And you don't know where taxes are going to be at that point.
No, and it's interesting. I have a table of just the tax rates, the historical tax rates, and right now our top tax rate is 39.5% approximately. I look back to the 60s and 70s when my parents were raising six kids. The tax rates then were between 60 to 80%.
The top tax, the top
tax, yeah, the top tiers. And yeah, it's so been as high as in the upper 90s in 1945. It's really hard to fathom that taxes could be that high. Can you imagine being paid a dollar and only coming home with 9 or 10 cents out of it?
That's crazy.
Yes.
I mean, it's almost socialist when you hear that.
Mm-hmm.
But knowing that historically it's been there in the United States, we're not talking about some foreign country.
No, we're talking about the United States and that currently it's at a historic low.
Yeah, so we don't know what it's going to be like. It could go back there at some point.
Right. What if it even goes up to 50%? What if it goes to 60%? What is that going to do to your retirement plan at distribution? If you have all this tax-deferred money that you haven't paid taxes on yet, you need to live off $100,000. You have to pull out $150,000 just to get your $100,000. So that's when I start talking about buckets. The next bucket is
yeah, because when you talk about, diversification, okay, mm-hmm. this is it's a part of diversification that most people don't really think about is – not just diversifying the type of investment like stocks versus bonds, for instance, to lower your risk. This is diversification from a tax standpoint, too.
Right. What type of money or what type of buckets of money do you have? The diversification in your funds is very important as well. In your 401k, diversify the funds and the risk and all that good stuff. Okay.
Okay. So number two on your list
is tax-free money. Okay. The other one was free money. This is tax-free money. So we're setting aside some tax-free money. Of those, muni bonds, Roth, and life insurance are the main three where you can get tax-free money.
Okay. And when you say tax-free money, be specific on that because it's not that you never pay tax on that money. It's that you already paid the tax up front on your income.
Great question. So, yes, exactly. You're paying taxes on it. It's going to grow tax-free and come out tax-free. I guess I'm looking at how these funds are going to be distributed. You know,
yes.
And if they're growing. If they're
it
growing.
It distributes mm-hmm. tax-free.
Right.
Because you've already paid the tax on it up front. It's coming out of your net income that you're going to go ahead and invest this money. It's going to grow tax-free and come out tax-free.
Right.
I like that.
Right.
Okay?
I'm a fan of getting free money after that. I'm a fan of paying taxes now and having it tax-free later. Okay. The Roth is a good one. If you're eligible for a Roth, that would be the second step when I'm talking to people about investing. Match your 401k and then maximize your Roth contributions. It's a great thing. It's a great product, which is why the government puts a limit on how much we can put in there, right? Because they want their money.
Not only how much you can put in, but also how much money you make to be eligible.
Exactly.
Because you can be disqualified if you make too much.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. All right. So bucket number three, and in case you just joined us, you're listening to Doug Haldeman Show on FM News Talk 97.1. I'm speaking with Elaine Marr from Farmers Insurance, and we're talking about the different buckets of money and how you can be smart with your money on how you diversify it. So number three, Elaine.
Okay, number three is I want you to be aware of how much you have in tax-deferred money. How much money do you have sitting in your 403B, your 401K, a simple SEP, those type of retirement plans that are deferred? You're paying, you know, you're deferring all of that tax, not only on your contributions, but all that growth. When you go to use it, you're going to owe taxes on all of it. So just get an idea of what you have in there. Okay?
Got it. And then number four.
And the last one is taxable. Your taxable money. So you're going to have to, it's capital gains from things like your stocks, your mutual funds, investment, real estate, CDs, money market. So let's know what kind of taxable money you have.
Well, and the benefit of the taxable money is it's a little bit more liquid,
mm-hmm.
typically.
Yes.
There's not necessarily a penalty to withdraw it, except that the market may be down at the point when you're withdrawing it. So you have to have a bucket of some money that's liquid that you can get
to. I think you should have something in all of these. I want you to have a balance. But let's find out what that balance is, you know, and what's important to you. Some of it is going to be based on your income, like you said, what you're eligible for, how much you're going to need at retirement. So let's look at your balance.
All right. So are there any rules of thumb about balance and things that you use to determine what that balance is?
I'm looking at the individual. That really has to be individual for the person.
Okay.
You know, what are they going to need to live on? What do they have set aside? Someone might have a lot of real property and investment properties, you know, that are going to count towards an income. And some people may not have any of that and are solely leaning on just one product in their portfolio.
All right. Well, let's talk products for a minute. Okay. Let's run some hypotheticals, make our listeners smarter with their money right now. What are some products that you guys have that you would recommend?
Okay, I'm have my 6 and 63. So besides insurance products, I'm also eligible to do investment products. One of my favorite ones that I like to use that far is a crossover between insurance and investments, and those are the life insurance products. There's term products, okay, and there's permanent products. I like the permanent products if you can afford them, because long term they can have a cash value that grows where you're going to get a return of all your premium. If it's set up right from the beginning, you have to dive into this and do it right. But we have a fixed index universal life. We have a variable universal life. I like both of those.
I like those too. And it's interesting because there's so many arguments out there about buy term and invest the difference.
Right.
Okay. And so buy your term insurance is basically rental insurance.
That's right.
There's no value to it unless you die. So if you don't die, okay, then it's not really worth anything to you.
Right.
And here was a lesson I learned. So I told you off air about a story that a current policy that I have, I took out when I was 32 years old. Okay, so basically 15 years ago, and it's $1.5 million term policy, paying $645 a year for it. Okay, well, I'm 15 years into this 20-year term policy, and I better not die within the next 5 years. So I only have 5 years left, but it's already telling me in five more years, if I want to continue this $1.5 million policy, instead of $645 a year, it's going to be over $18,000 a year.
Isn't that amazing?
Right,
yes.
Because it'll use my death
rates.
Your
current age. And,
yeah,
right,
absolutely.
Right. And I talk with a lot of young people about taking out something as simple as a 10-year term. You know, that's the lowest I'll go. It's because our products are convertible. If you take that out, the importance of taking it out as soon as you can, even if it is just a term product, is that you're locking in your health status. Lock in that health status because there are events in life where you become uninsurable and you don't ever want to be there.
You don't want to be there. And these long-term products, these basically permanent insurance,
right,
instead of temporary insurance. So fixed index, variable life insurance, variable universal life. Those are products that you definitely recommend, right?
Right. You'll take them out as long as you can afford them and they're set up right. They're great. They end up being basically free because you mentioned that term is like renting. Well, the permanent products are like owning. You're building equity. You're building equity in this life policy just like you would a home.
Well, and it's a great policy by the government because it's one of the few areas where they'll let you grow your money tax-free.
Yeah, you let it grow. Now, if you were to surrender that cash value, you're going to pay taxes on it. But we have a way that you take it out as a loan. It comes out tax-free. You need $50,000 to live off of, you pull out $50,000.
Okay, so the only downside I see on this is if you do have a life event where you can't continue to contribute and you do go ahead and suck all the money out of there, now you could lose some money on it. So
yes,
you definitely need to know that you're going to have to be consistent with this plan and not commit to too much. But the fact that you can let it, you can have the insurance value in there is great. But then to let your money actually grow, I mean, it's compound interest, just like Einstein said.
It's a great product, and I'm very vigilant in the beginning of telling people, this is our plan. This is our plan. You need to stick with it. And when I was talking about the term, I don't know that I mentioned that it's convertible. When I said it's important, at the very least, rather than doing nothing, you know, at very least, take out a term product. Our term products are convertible. So maybe you don't feel like you can afford a permanent plan right now, but even if you took it a 10-year term, very affordable, and decided, well, about 7 years from now, I'm going to be in better shape. I'm going to convert that to a permanent plan. I'll be able to afford to do that. What you've done is you locked in your health status.
I would think most people do not know that their term policies are convertible.
Right. And some are, some are not. Ours and Farmers are. And some companies are kind of dropping that, but you'll find a lot of them out there convertible.
One thing about smartwithyourmoney.com and just what we teach on the show is understanding the behavioral things that go on with people. Buy term and invest the difference theoretically may be better in certain cases, But people don't invest the difference in 99% of the cases.
Right. Or so life, right. Or life changes. Someone buys a 30-year term because they're saying my mortgage will be gone in 30 years. But meanwhile, 5 years later, they jump up to a bigger home and increase and incur more debt. So you've got to think of those things that might take you off of your path.
All right. So if you want advice in this area, you definitely need to reach out to Elaine. And in fact, Elaine, you have a deal for our listeners right now that I absolutely love, because I know one of your favorite books is Tax-Free Retirement by Patrick Kelly. And you're going to give 10 free copies of this book away. So the first 10 people that reach out to Elaine can have a copy of this book. So reach out to Elaine Marr right away. Elaine Marr from Farmers Insurance at 314-238-0055.
Correct.
So 314-238-0055. So first 10 people, reach out to Elaine, get a free copy of Tax-Free Retirement by Patrick Kelly. Good stuff. Elaine, really appreciate you taking the time to come in and enriching our lives and making us safer.
Thank you. I'd be more than happy to hand those books out, too. It's something that I'm really excited about right now. I like his concept.
All right. So reach out to Elaine. Also, visit our website, and you'll be able to see the blog post on this. And you can re-listen the segment, too, at smartwithyourmoney.com. And look for Elaine Marr from Farmers Insurance. Thanks again, Elaine.
Thanks, Doug.
Don't forget, just a reminder for you, next Sunday at 4 p.m., you don't want to miss the Doug Haldeman Show right here on FM News Talk 97.1. Becoming a financial juggernaut is as simple as listening every Sunday at 4 p.m., modeling the advice of the experts, and implementing your personal plan. See you next week. Yeah.